Good morning, Unity. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Oh my goodness. You know, as I was reflecting for preparing for the Easter talk, for those of us who have been in New Thought for a while, the Easter talk is like the big talk. You got to have the Easter talk, right? I was thinking about how many different ways to tell a story and how many different ways we hear a story. And if I had a microphone, which I'm sure I could find, but we're not going to do this because, you know, we might be here all day, but to ask you for your version of what's happening on planet Earth right now, we would hear a lot of different stories. And here's the great news. Every single one of those stories would be 100% accurate because we all view every story and the world through our lens, through our own lens of perspective and perception. So as I dive into the Easter story, I want to start by saying, I know that we all come to this moment with very many different pathways. Some of us grew up with the Easter story. I grew up with the Easter story in my church. Some of us grew up in a church where we would say, would like to say no thank you to that story that we heard. Some of us grew up saying, oh, that was the best place that I ever went. Some people didn't have that at all. For some of us, Easter was the Easter bunny and Easter eggs. For some of us, we were at a synagogue or a mosque. We don't even know this Easter story. We might have come to New Thought going, what is this Easter thing? Right? And so I wanted to start with that because when we look at the story, we can look at it through different lenses. And the last time I was here, I talked briefly about the four levels of consciousness that came to me once in a meditation that I've given four different words, and I'm just going to briefly go through them. Martyr, magical thinking, metaphysical, and mystical. And the first time I ever spoke, I gave a talk called Beyond Metaphysics, talking about us shifting from the metaphysical perspective into the mystical perspective, which is oneness. And someone came up to me afterward and said, have you ever heard Michael Beckwith speak? He says almost the exact same thing. I hadn't ever known that, but what is beautiful about that is we picked that up in consciousness. And having now become his friend, we talked about picking that up in consciousness, and we have a little bit different way we say it or frame it, but the bottom line is we have a choice in how we view the world and the story. Do I want to view it through the martyr lens? Things happen to me. I'm a victim to the world. Do I want to move into the ever popular and fun stage of I make things happen? That's a fun one, isn't it? That's what a lot of us come into New Thought. We're like, no, I'm not a victim. I make it happen. Vision board, manifestation, perfect partner. And if you're anything like me, you manifested it all. And then it's like, oh, is that all? Right? Is that all? And then we might move into the metaphysical, which is things happen through me. And then ultimately, we might have an opportunity to shift into mystical, which is the awareness that there's only one of us here. The awareness that is beyond words or thought, that we are each a perfect expression of the one power and one presence. Because doesn't it sound good, Unity's first principle? Like, there's only one power and one presence active in my life and in the universe, except for that one political figure. That person's not part of source energy. That can't be true. I'm not that person. I remember about maybe 20 years ago, I went to a workshop, and we were instructed to reach under our chair, and there was a piece of paper with a word on it. And we were to find a person in the room and describe exactly how that word is true about us. So someone got the word loving. Oh, I can't wait to tell you how loving I am. Another person got the word spiritual. I am so spiritual. I can't wait to share how spiritual I am with you. And then another person got murderer. Can I walk up to someone and share the ways that I've been in the world where I've played the villain and the hero? And that is the place where I find compassion for what we call the human experience. And so when we explore the Easter story, I'm inviting us to shift into this mystical awareness. Because when I went to Unity Institute for several years, and I, first of all, okay, I'm just going to get real with y'all. I walk into Unity like, oh, I want to be a minister. I've had the calling. Right? And my good friend at that time, Reverend Maureen Bass, said, be careful saying that out loud. Because once you say it out loud, blankety blank might start to happen. And lo and behold, I said yes, and everything started to crumble. And then I walked into my first, like, awareness, I guess, of the first week I did spiritual enrichment education. And I was like, what is all this Bible stuff? Like, I didn't realize there was going to be so much Bible. I didn't grow up with the Bible. I grew up actually really loving my church, just feeling so good when I was there. But I don't think I absorbed anything they were saying. I didn't hear any, like, you're going to hell. I don't think that was being taught there. So for some of us, we come to Unity and we have to unlearn, right? And redefine and ask ourselves, what does this story mean to me? And so when I went to school at Unity, they taught us how to metaphysically interpret stories, including the Easter story. But this is what it looked like. Go get the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary written by Charles Fillmore. And if you don't know who he and his wife Myrtle are the founders of Unity in the late 1800s. And they were part of ushering in a profound new consciousness on planet Earth. That God wasn't up there, out there somewhere, and it wasn't rewarding and punishing, that we were actually source energy, and we were actually the person that was creating our life based on what do we hear? Based on what? Our thoughts, right? So it was a profound moment of moving us into the idea that we can change our thinking and change our life. And I thought, and you might get a sense, but I'm a little rebellious. That back row knows how rebellious I can be. The second to the back row. There's some of my good best friends over there. I can be a little rebellious. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't really want to interpret this story based on what someone said 100 years ago. I want to ask myself, what does this story mean to me? Has anyone in here ever done dream analysis or dream interpretation? Come on, Unity people. I know you've done it. Okay, so a lot of times we are told to read what it means in a book. Flowing down a river means a spiritual journey. A driving in a car means this. But what we want to look at as another way to interpret a dream is we're every character in the dream. And that we are the creator of this dream, and it is giving us information about what's happening in our consciousness. And I remember waking up one day and saying, oh my gosh, dream analysis is actually reality. That we are literally in a dream and we're all interpreting every player in our dream through our level of consciousness. And it's all 100% correct. There's not your version and my version and the truth is in the middle, because that's what we often say. There's your version and my version and they're both 100% correct because of our lens. And so I'm going to invite us to take a look at the Easter story through this lens that we're every character, and there might be some meaning in the story for us today. And I will just right out of the gate acknowledge some of these words don't really resonate with me. Crucifixion, resurrection. Oh, we hear these words, right? They might be loaded for you, but we're going to look at the intent or the essence of the meaning, starting with a lot of people in New Thought say the crucifixion is crossing out negative thinking. Have you heard that? Crossing out negative thinking. We're going to go a little deeper today, right? You were in the first service. Are we going to go a little deeper? Yeah. A little deeper. Because guess what? I'm not my thoughts. And so if I come into New Thought and I think I am my thoughts, then I'm going to what? Try to change my thinking, to change my life. And if you're anything like me, maybe you all are much smarter than I am, but I've for one decade tried to change my thinking. A full decade in New Thought. And it sounded something like this. Oh, I shouldn't say, oh, don't think that. Oh God, oh no, negative thinking. Oh my gosh, it's gonna manifest. Oh. I was part of a community that we would wear rubber bands. And if you said something negative, you remember. And then I was part of another one. another community in the 90s in San Francisco, some of you might know which one I'm talking to, they'd say, cancel, cancel, don't say that. Cancel, cancel. I said something negative, right? And so we're going to explore this story through something a little deeper today, and that is part of what I shared the last time I was here, which I can't believe was 9 months ago, but it was 9 months ago, was my own journey of remembering the time that I felt whole and complete. I came into the world remembering the deepest truth of who and what I am. I remember the experience of being in awe of the world. And I told this story at the first service, so I'll tell it again, because that's, I think, what I'm supposed to do, right? I do the same thing twice. Someone called the first service a dress rehearsal. A few people did, so welcome to the performance. So there is a story, true or not, but it's supposed to be true. And I wrote it in one of my books, so it's got to be true, right? Of a young couple who had an infant and a toddler, and the toddler was sneaking into the infant's room at night. And they were curious about that, so they set up a baby cam. And what they discovered is the toddler was sneaking into the baby's room and leaning over and saying, "Please tell me about God, I'm starting to forget." So if we're going to talk about the resurrection of a new consciousness, it's actually not a resurrection, it's a remembering. It's the remembering of who and what we are. And if we're going to use the word crucifixion, not my favorite word, but if we're going to use that word, we're going to say, what are those core ideas and beliefs? And more than that, what is the frequency that I started carrying around about myself when I forgot the truth? We don't actually need to teach our children about this. We need to learn from our children because they're closer to the source. And that also happens as people are transitioning off of this planet. They start getting closer to source. Have you ever had a really angry relative who suddenly becomes kind and loving in their last days? Have you? Because we start to shed all of this stuff that we think is so important, including our thoughts, opinions, ideas, and beliefs. But the deeper awareness is the frequency that we're carrying. So when I was a little kid, growing up in Indiana, and I told the year earlier, so I'm going to tell it again, born in 1965. Yeah! And being a product of the Midwest in the late 60s, what a trip. Some people say we choose to be born here. Interesting choice I made. Let me be a little gay boy in Indiana in the late 1960s in a family where the men talked in such a derogatory way about women, and my grandfather, who I loved, was racist every single day, said something that was deeply racist. And I remember being simultaneously mortified but also confused, seeing war on the TV, seeing my parents in a loveless marriage. I found out recently that my parents never did. My dad never wanted to marry my mom, but he was told he was going to do it. I'm like, well, thank God, at least after 20 years of sensing that, I guess I was onto something. And all of this set the stage for me creating what I call core false beliefs. And the reason I say I call them, I add the word false because I want to acknowledge that we pick up lies about ourselves that are so much deeper than a thought. It's a frequency. It's a vibration. So I was walking around, I'm unlovable, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy. And I had all sorts of strategies to try to manage that. Some of them really absurd. It became the unconscious operating system at which I was walking through life with. And then I kept saying something like this: why do I keep having these relationships? Why do I keep attracting unavailable people? Why am I in a toxic work environment? And the why is really simple, but we're going to ask a different question, and that's, what is it that I can do to, whether we like the word or not, crucify or live beyond some of these? How do I actually get down and heal that which is in the unconscious or the subconscious? Because if I don't, it's running the show. And every behavior, every thought, every action, every idea, and every relationship cannot possibly be incongruent with that. If I'm vibrating with the frequency of I'm not lovable, and I say, please love me, please love me, please love me, I will literally reject it if it shows up. And that's the great news. It is the great news. Okay, I have a what? Okay, it's the great news because then I understand the power of the frequency aligning. And once I understand, oh, my core false belief of I'm not lovable keeps attracting it, and that's not really accurate. It's actually we're attracted to it. It's actually that we cannot possibly choose anything other than that. That's the power. Because if I can continue to replicate these relationships over and over and over again, I can shift and heal what's there, have a different relationship with it. One could say crucify, but I'm going to say live beyond that. Change where I'm tuning into, because we came in as the core vibration of infinite possibility. We came in as the core vibration of love. We came in as essential. The Buddhists call it Buddha nature. There's so many words for it, source energy. So we don't have to figure out how to get there. It's what needs to be uncovered and discovered and unlearned so that I can return to that. And that to me is the Easter story. The Easter story is simple. It's been here all along. And for me, I spent many, many years searching outside of myself to feel whole again. And all the while, it was literally right here. And one thing we don't talk about often in the Easter story is the tomb time, which is the story, if you don't know the Easter story, is Jesus was crucified, 3 days in the tomb, and then resurrected. And then people interpret that story in all sorts of different ways across the world. The tomb time, through the mystical lens to me, would be, what is that time asking of me? That time when maybe I've become aware of one of those patterns in my life, you know, those things that we keep replicating over and over and over again. We've shifted out of why does this keep happening to me to why do I keep choosing this? And then eventually we say, maybe why is not the question? How can I have a different relationship with this? Spending time in the silence, allowing myself to ask what's next for me before I go out and be the love and be the light. Because I know you unity people. We just want to be, I am love, I am light, everything's love and light, right? And I think it's important for us to say what wants to be released, because we don't need to find love. We don't, you know, that's what Rumi said. We're not here to seek for love, but to remove all the barriers that we've put on top of it. And so the Easter story to me is actually a profoundly simple story, a remembrance of who and what I am. And a remembrance of who and what I am means I can automatically see that for you. And when I can see that for you, I can see that more for me. And that's how we start to shift consciousness on the planet. And it might not even be a ripple effect. Maybe it can happen right now. Maybe it did just happen right now. If one of us in this room says, I'm not going to react to that post. I am not going to believe that I am my opinion. And if we have different opinions, therefore we can't be friends. How many of us see, like, well, I just can't be around my family who has different views than me? That's why I don't love the term finding a like-minded community. Because I'm going to guess that we agree on a lot of stuff. But I can also guarantee that there's at least one of y'all in this room that's like, what the heck is he talking about? I don't agree with any of this. That's not the Easter story. I mean, I know my husband's mom sometimes comes to hear me speak, and she's like, that is not what Jesus said. One time the camera was next to her, and I said something, and you can hear her on camera going, that is not what he said. You need to tell TJ. You can hear her voice on the camera. It is so good. That is not what he said. Oh my goodness. So the story really is, I'm aware that I came into the world as a spark of divinity. I'm aware that I got programmed to believe that I'm something else. I am aware, and I am now willing to question every point of view I've ever had that has kept me limited or stuck. I'm going to question them. I don't have to cross them out necessarily. I can live beyond them. I can become the observer. And I remember learning how to meditate. And I think I literally did hear teachers say the intention of meditation is to quiet the mind. And it was brutal for me. It was like another, that was the same decade probably. of me being really brutal with myself. I shouldn't think that. I shouldn't have that thought. I need to stop thinking. And when I became aware, or someone said, become the observer of the thought, then I started saying, maybe my thoughts aren't as solid as I once believed. And then I came to another awareness, maybe I'm not my thoughts. And then the question, if I'm not my thoughts, who or what am I? And that exploration took me back to a remembrance of the time when I knew. And when the spiritual room of our existence is the CEO of our company, if you will, then our body, our physical self, reports to spirit, our emotional self reports to spirit, our thoughts report to spirit. In other words, what if it's all spiritual? What if the story is so profoundly simple that our complicated minds might not even be able to grasp it? And that is, you are whole and perfect exactly as you are, and you've never been anything else. But maybe you've had some ideas that that's not who you are. And so as we spend those 3 days, metaphorically speaking, could be literally speaking, I remember one time I was going through a very difficult time, and I had so much judgment of this other human being. And this was at Unity, of course, right? Because we know conflict never happens in spiritual communities, right? And it was about the board and about the minister, and I said, I am not leaving this room until I have a transformation. And I closed my curtains, and I stayed there for, and it was really 3 days. I'm literally processing this in real time, as you might notice. It literally was 3 days, and at the end of the 3 days, I was so aware of the truth. And I had experienced the truth once in Varanasi, India, where my ego was stripped away for just a few minutes. And it came back, of course. And the goal, I don't think the goal is to be rid of the ego like it's some horrible thing, but I had a permanent shift in my relationship with it. I realized that the ego is a vehicle for spirit. And so I was in that room for 3 days until I had the transformation, and the transformation was so beyond forgiveness, because I thought I needed to figure out how to forgive these people because they're bad and wrong. And I need to be the better person. That's why I don't love the F word, forgiveness I'm talking about. Because I can make peace with that and I can realize who I am. And so in closing, and this time I think it really is in closing, not 7 more minutes, I think it really is in closing. I just want to say the Easter story is profoundly simple. The story is you each of us came into the world as a spark of divinity, and that's the truth of who and what we are. If we've ever believed anything other than that, this is a moment where you have a choice to say, that's not true. The truth of who I am is an infinite being. So I want you to repeat after me, I am love.
I am love.
I am light.
I am light.
I am joy.
I am joy.
I am effervescent.
I am effervescent.
I am here to be love. I am here to be joy.
I am here to be joy.
And I make a difference.
I make a difference.
And so it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. Happy Easter, happy Easter. Thank you, thank you.